All right, so to introduce the call, today is session 3 for the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group, and the date is February 19th, 2009. And today we have, at least so far, LaToya, Michael, Stacy, Angie, and Kelly on the call. And our call today is going to be about values, okay? So let me give you a flavor of what we're going to go over. One of the things I wanted to talk about is LaToya asked me a question via email. And LaToya, I was going to ask you to just bring up your challenge briefly and tell us what you learned so that everyone else can learn from your experience, okay, and what you're thinking about. So, hold on 1 second. I'm going to have you do that in just a second, okay?
Okay.
So we will do that, go through successes, learnings, and challenges, and check in on homework. We are going to briefly look at the career model, the new one that I sent you guys last week, okay? And then today we're focusing on ideal and career values. And I really want to spend time on values because they're very important in terms of your ideal career path. So if we don't get to everything that I wanted to cover today, then we will just continue next time because I want to make sure that we've got plenty of time to cover this and answer any questions that you guys might have. All right? Okay, so I'll go over explaining why values is so important in just a few minutes. So, LaToya, would you just mind giving us the bottom line about what your question was and what you learned based on my response, what your current thinking is?
My question was, can I go ahead and look for another job just to get out of my work environment? Because I'm frustrated, aggravated, and all of the above, and it's like I just had enough, and I couldn't wait until finding out 6 months if I can, you know, what my ideal career was.
Okay. And so I want you guys to just hear what she's thinking. Can anyone else relate to that? I mean, are any of you guys feeling that strongly about your job that you're that unhappy?
Yes. This is Michael.
Okay. Michael, what is it that you're doing? Is it with your MBA program, or are you working too?
Both.
Okay. I didn't know about the work part.
Yeah, I'm working, going to school, and relocating all at the same time right now.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of extra time on your hands. Gotcha. And Michael, where are you working?
Right now I work at a credit union in Norcross.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so anybody else besides Michael feel that way about their job? Or the rest of you kind of like, no, I can get by. Okay. So, LaToya, share with us what you learned based on what I said to you and what you're currently thinking.
What I learned is just to relax, be patient, and that look at it as just a paycheck until I make my appropriate change in the next 6 months, because it may be a little hectic to jump into one job now, and then 6 months down the road, I'm jumping into another job.
Right.
And so I just looked at it as just make one change for this year and, you know, ride it out and relax and just be patient.
Okay.
And that since I'm getting to understand what I really want in the job, that that's making it even more frustrating because I'm recognizing what I want is not what I have in my current job.
Right, right. And that can actually make it worse.
Right.
So for the moment, taking this perspective of, you know what, it's a paycheck and it's getting me to where I want to go because it's providing financial stability, and that's how you're seeing it. Is that helping you? Has this past week been a little bit better?
Yes, it has.
Okay. So I wanted to share this with you guys because all of you might feel this way at some point in the process. Michael, you already do. And so I want you to know that, and I said this in the first call, that it's okay if you are so miserable. It is okay to change jobs. But you need to think, number one, about the way the economy is right now, that jobs are not as plentiful, okay? And number two, if it is the best idea for you to make this kind of dramatic change and then make another one, say 6 months later or whatever it is. So for some people, you know what, being in the job that you're in, if it's making you that miserable and you don't have any energy to do other work, then that's one thing. But if you can take a different perspective and kind of suck it up and stick it out for a little bit longer, then in a lot of cases that's going to be worth it, because the job will provide you that stability that you need while you're trying to pursue something else. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a comment to throw out there.
Good.
Because this is pretty much what helps me get through my days right now for the next 2.5 months until my MBA is going. And it's a comment that I have on a sticky note right by my office desk, and it reads, "You must keep telling yourself this is not always going to be fun, but what you are looking for is to reach your dreams, and this is the price you must pay."
Oh, wow.
So if you're in a situation like a few of us are in, you know, you have to keep on looking forward to your dreams. And right now, especially with the economy the way it is, you know, be patient. Which is, it sounds like it's hard for, was it Latoya?
Yeah.
You know, patience is a hard thing for myself also in the position, because I'm always wanting to go do the, but like Hallie said, it might not be right now, because you still have that paycheck.
Yeah,
if you give up that paycheck, you know, you don't know when the next paycheck would be coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Very good, Michael. Thank you. So I want you guys to get that whether it's your job now or the next one, that even if it's not your ideal career, and even if it's not a step towards it in terms of, like, you know, I'll give you me as an example. When I was going to start my coaching practice, I had to leave the job I was in because it was too stressful. I was getting physically ill, and so I could not do the work I needed to do to become a coach. It was that bad. And so I did quit, but I found a part-time job that was my transition job in order to grow my coaching practice on the side. And this is the point I want to make, that part-time job had nothing to do with coaching. I was an office manager at a university for an office that was remodeling space. You know, I mean, so far from coaching, you couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, that job was a step towards my dream because it paid my bills, and it was part-time. I had every Friday off, and I could do my coaching practice on the side. You see my point? So
yes.
Some people might say to me, and I hear this a lot, well, you know, if I go get this interim job, but it's not related to what I want to do, isn't that a step backwards? It's all in how you see it. It can be a step forwards, just like my example,
mm-hmm.
because it's the paycheck, it's the stability, and it allows you that freedom to dream and think out of the box. Is that helpful for you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody else who may not be in this situation, I want to always bring these up, because whether or not you all are dealing with this right now or it's a current, you know, situation or issue for you, it could be down the line. So I always want to bring up what people have talked to me about in between our calls, if it's appropriate, so that you all can learn from each other. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Latoya and Michael. Perfect. All right. So does anybody have any successes or learnings that they're just burning to share?
This is Angie, and it kind of connects to what Latoya and Michael were saying, is that since I've started this process and really trying to commit 100% to the coaching, that I feel like it's made my job a little easier, that I know it's temporary, and I feel like I can commit a little deeper in my job. So that's been a surprise, and it's actually made my job easier.
Oh, cool. So you had a different effect. That's awesome. I think what you're... Yeah. I think what you might be experiencing, Angie, is that the opposite of this is knowing that this is not permanent, that you're doing mm-hmm. something about it in order to pursue and identify your ideal. So knowing that, you know what, I'm not going to be here forever.
Exactly.
Okay. So perfect. Thank you for sharing. That's great. All right. So Any challenges that you guys are having or questions from the homework or anything else before we move to the next thing?
Time.
Time?
Yes. But it will ease up in the next 2.5 months.
Okay. So, Michael, a couple things. Is there anything that you can say no to? This might be a question that you need to think about, that you need to say no to, delegate, prioritize, or put off. Because I have this time thing. I have the bright, shiny object syndrome where I want to do everything all at once. And, yep.
It's mostly everything that I have on my agenda is a have to do. Because everything, we're winding down my MBA program. So it's, but it also helps me out with my future career because we're in the midst of writing a business plan for our final project. But we also have 4 other assignments along with an international project that we're working on.
That you have to do.
Then I have my day job.
Right. Oh, yeah, right, on the side.
Yeah.
Okay, so does anybody have any quick advice for Michael?
I'm just trying to get the next 2.5 months.
Okay. Any thoughts from the group? Okay, Michael, you've stumped everyone. So I think that there's a little bit of, you're just going to have to get through the next 2.5 months and remind yourself that this isn't going to be forever.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
And prioritize within your list of have-to-do's, prioritize within that list. And also...
Go,
great.
I have something to add. Yeah, this is Kelly. I've also been in the position of going to graduate school and working full-time, and I know it's really hard when you're going through it, but one thing that has helped me in the past is when I think about what I'm going through now and I think, gosh, this is really hard, I can always go back to, you worked full-time and went to graduate school full-time, and if you can do that, you can do this. And so sometimes you don't realize what you're made of until you've already been through it.
Nice.
And I don't know if that helps give Michael any perspective.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I like that, Kelly. That was great. Very inspiring. Okay, so Michael, show us what you're made of, okay? No pressure. No, seriously, that was really perfect, Kelly. So get through it, Michael. Let us know if you need help and support. And know that you can do it, okay? All right, so let's check in on your homework. Last time we talked about must-haves and like-to-haves, and I think the resounding lesson from that was being specific with each thing. And so the careers to consider was part of what you were looking at. So let's go around the room briefly here, and each person, just tell us what you got out of that, and what are your top 2 careers to consider. Maybe what's the number one. Let's do the number one. And what you learned from doing this homework. Okay? Mm-hmm. So who's willing to jump in?
So I guess I will because I don't have that much because I try. I was marinating in it while I was doing all my other assignments.
Okay. Like marinating like a chicken. Go for it, Michael.
Well, I'll throw out the 2 because one is I'm pursuing the business plan right now, is the entrepreneur, whether or not I really want to pursue becoming an entrepreneur of an entertainment venue.
Right, okay.
That was there, but if I stay within the industry that I'm in now, with the credit union industry, the specific career would be a management position within a mid to small size credit union.
Okay. So, Michael, based on your must-have and like-to-have list, so far, does being an entrepreneur still fit?
Yeah, except, it just flip-flops my, free time. Free time used to be at nights,
mm-hmm.
but if I go that route, free time will be during the day.
Okay, so that's something that you might have to compromise on. But remember that you want to make sure, as long as your must-haves are being met, and if that's like the only one that you really have to compromise on at the beginning or one of a few of them, and you're okay with that, then that's what matters at the end of the day. You want to make sure that your must-haves are being met, okay?
But I love it because you run your own business, too. Let me throw this out there. Because another one of my, which we'll get to later, is family values and being a part of the family life whenever I choose to have a family. I guess by running an own venue or an own business is you can almost leave and be a part of your family's, you know, life when you need to be.
Yep.
Like football games, things like that. And then I can go back to work after the game.
Yep. And then you have people in place, the support people in place, to take care of things when you're not there. That's the key.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it's true, and you get the right people on the bus. Good. Okay, thanks, Michael. Who's next? Let's try to go through this quickly. But I wanted you all to know what you guys are thinking about so that you get to know each other and where you're going a little bit better.
This is Angie, and I thought this exercise was really helpful in getting more specific. A couple of the careers that I'm considering, one kind of general title is analyst, and in the past I've been uncertain if that would be in a financial analyst role, sustainability, or if it's more like an advisor, counselor. And going through the must-haves, it really helped me see that, you know, maybe there are jobs that I haven't thought of that's being an analyst in, say, a health and wellness arena or a sustainability kind of green issues arena. So I just went through and all of my must-haves and was very specific as to, you know, what that kind of job would look like.
Nice. Good, Angie. Great. I'm glad it was so helpful. All right, next. You guys are doing really well today. Do I have to start calling out the ice creams again? Okay, chocolate peanut butter.
That's me, Kelly.
Okay.
I don't know if I can pick just one. I really like the job that I'm currently in. The thing that I don't like about it is the variable income and not being able to rely on how much money I'm having each month.
Mm-hmm. So it's the...
I don't know if that means I need to add something to maybe make it feel a little bit more stable, like doing a blogging thing or something on the side, or if I should just totally start over.
So it's therapy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for you, look at your must-haves, and that's one of the things that's obviously a problem is the variable income. So it could be blogging. It could be doing it in a different location and venue, you know, like you've talked about a hospital and the pros and cons of that. So it could be, you know, doing the same thing but in a different location with different people where this variability thing isn't going to happen as much. So that's part of you brainstorming and thinking about other ways to make it more stable, whether it's a different location or, like you said, blogging and other ways to supplement your income. Okay, so good.
Then there are also times, really quickly, there are also times where I just completely don't want to do it at all and start doing something totally different.
Right, I know. So in those moments, you have to think about, like, step back and take a bird's eye view for a second and say, is this just about what happened to me today or the past few days? Or is this true unhappiness overall? Like, the majority of the time, are you happy with your job? And if the answer is yes, then you're in the right ballpark. And you're probably just frustrated with, like, something that happened that week.
Okay.
So take a bird's eye view in those situations. Good, Kelly, thanks. All right, Stacy, how about you?
Well, I must say I found this exercise really difficult for me because it's a way of thinking that I've never thought before. It's usually when you think about what do you want to do career-wise, you get to think of every career out there. But because I'm trying to think of a career that goes along with being a full-time actor, it really limits things. You have to be a lot more creative as far as what those types of jobs are. And I've never thought of those types of jobs. I've always thought of like 8 to 5, 40 hours a week, those typical type of careers. So this is something very different for me and very difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around. So the only thing I really started off doing is thinking about the actors that I do know who are full-time actors and what they're doing. And just kind of, I was writing down all their careers.
Great.
And none of them really were, I never really connected with a single one of them. I was like, no, don't want to do that, don't want to do that, don't want to do that. So it almost feels like either working in the sort of corporate, there are people I know who are in corporate career jobs who they've spoken with their employer and they're just really flexible with their schedule. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're ever booked in something, they're allowed to go that way. It's an open communication line, and they just are lucky to be in a corporate career job that allows them to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, but I don't know how that happens in an interview. Oh, by the way, it's cool if I'm here possibly only 50% of the time.
Okay, so, Stacy, real quick, if you still struggle with this, let me know and we can brainstorm a little bit via email. But there are ways to do that. These other people have done it. And what I find, too, is don't say it in the interview at the beginning necessarily. Try to find out what the culture is like. And then once you've proven yourself, that's when you can ask for the flexibility. But you also can find out from a company, do you have flex time policies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that is a question to ask. And then you get to judge whether it's something to say up front. Okay, so they say, yes, they do have those policies. Great. So then you kind of make your way and prove yourself a little bit and then ask for that flexibility. Another thing that I was thinking of is what are the other things that provide a lot of flexibility, and happy to hear from the group here too, but like consulting things, freelance, like as a consultant, being your own boss, you know, working from home, those kinds of things too. The freelance thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too, but I'm just like, what in the world do you do? Like, okay, I'll be a freelance something. What is that something that I'm going to do? What am I qualified to do? What will be fun to do? I mean, to freelance and work from home, that's a really great ideal, but what's my job?
Yep, and that's where we're going. That's what we have to figure out.
Well, one thing that I throw out there for you is you mentioned that you know some actors. I don't know if it's just know from reading in the, you know, internet or what. I would do some informational interviews with them and just see. You say they have like careers to help, but you know, try to figure out if it's not something you like to do. Try to ask the questions on how do they get to making that decision. Who might be someone else that you might talk to.
I mean, the ones that I know, that I was talking about are ones that I've worked with. They're people I actually know in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at careers that they have. But
well,
kind of like what we're talking. Go ahead.
I would dig a little deeper and just ask them questions. If those are not careers that you like, then ask them, well, who did you talk to figure out whether or not this career was good?
And another thought is, too, piggybacking on what Michael's saying, is there may be other people that you can reach out to that you don't know, and that's where the informational interviews could come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just and say, can I have a few minutes of your time and talk to you about how you pursued this path and how you paid your bills along the way? You know, what are the different options? And so part of... Yep.
I mean, it's not just like one actor. I mean, it's like 12 actors that I look at what they're doing. So,
well,
and I'm sure there's other ones out there that have other more interesting careers, and maybe I just talk to them about other actors that they know, what careers they have, and I'm just not really sure. I mean, I kind of feel like I know the path I have to go, like we're saying, like this freelance or work from home or a really flexible corporate career world. It's
figuring out what that is.
A career search, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of, in this process for you, because acting is the long term that you want to do, and you know that you want to have that be part of your career path in some way, ideally full time, for you it's looking at, like we talked about, the in-between. And so when you look at the career model and do all of these exercises, that's what I want you to be focusing on. So if it is freelance, that's great, but what would be fun and what am I qualified for? And when you look at the model, those are the things that we need to consider, your talents, your past experience, et cetera.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we're filling this in, those are the questions that you're going to be answering for yourself. And I know it's hard because you want to know now, and you're like, well, I've talked to these people and none of the ideas I like.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of, these are the questions that we need to be answering. And if you still feel like you're stuck, you know, send me an email and we'll chat more about it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, LaToya?
My career was writing, but I wanted to break it down into specifically what to write about. And so while doing a lot of research and looking at my must-have things, I broke it down into fashion writing, and then I was thinking, well, I could work with a company and have my own blog,
mm-hmm.
since we were talking about blogs last week. And then I thought about how many different fashion blogs I go through every day and on the weekend. I wanted to be different, so I thought about what about if I focused on the up-and-coming designers, and I found all these resources of how I can get media credentials and get interviews with up-and-coming new people, and so things were just kind of coming together, and I was getting excited about that.
Nice. Cool. So doing the research for you has helped with inspiration and ideas, it sounds like.
Right. Yes.
Cool. Okay, great.
Can I ask a question? I mean, is there really that much money in blog writing that I feel like everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get this blog, I'm going to get this blog. I'm like, I have a blog. I have two blogs. I make $70 a month off of both of them. I'm just like, how are you guys honestly thinking that you're going to make all this money off blog writing?
I mean,
not to be like a downer, but.
This is, LaToya, for me, it's not so much about the, it won't be so much about the money. Because as I said, work for a company and have a blog. So the blog for me would be on the side. If I can get some money, then that would be great. But then also there are, like, about.com. They hire for guides, and you can make $7.75
yeah.
a month.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I know about that site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's also some companies now, media companies, that are hiring people, you know, to write for their websites as a blog person, and you get, you know, paid for that. So there are some circumstances out there where you can't get paid for having a blog, and then others you may not make anything.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be a downer. I mean, like my blog is, I'm in the really one, but I work through a company that have like a network of blogs, and
mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to be easily thrown out there like, oh, it's this elusive moneymaker blog out there, because I just don't think it's that easy to make all this money off blog writing. I just don't want people to think that that's a legitimate backup. Mm-hmm. I mean,
no,
you know, there's some people making tons of money off of it, but then there's a whole lot more making no money or little money off of it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, and that's the reality of it. So I think for LaToya, it's more about, like, the writing, and that's a venue or a place that she can put her writing out there to get some practice.
Right.
And become more well-known with it, you know, but I think it's the practice and the experience and some place to point to say, okay, I do write, and I write for this blog.
Right, and this is what I've done on my own. So when I go to a magazine in their beauty department.
Examples.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can make some money, but for most people, no, it's pretty minimal. So it's kind of, it's a step or a something to do for other purposes, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Stacey, thanks for bringing it up. Okay. So step one in the process, remember the five-step process that I explained to you, all of you, at the beginning in our first call was the defining who you are and where you want to go, and that's what we're starting to look at today. And where I start is looking at the fulfillment portion of the career model. So did everyone get the updated career model that I sent you with, I think it has six circles on the outside, it's kind of orangey?
Yeah.
Everybody got that. Okay. So take a look at it if you have it. If you don't, it's okay. The fulfillment piece is the circle in the middle for a reason, because the fulfillment piece of the model, if you get that in place, then all of the other things will fall into place more easily, and they're very interconnected, and I'll give you an example of that in just a moment, okay? So today we're starting to look at the fulfillment piece of the model, the middle, which is the cornerstone of the model, and one major way to identify what is fulfilling for you in a career is to identify your ideal and your career values, and that's what we're going to start on today, okay? So first of all, how do we define fulfillment? What does fulfilling mean? What would you guys say?
Mm.
Any ideas? Just blurt out, like, what's fulfillment? Is it feeling, like, full?
I guess making something whole.
Great, good. Any other ideas?
Accomplishment, reaching your goal.
Nice. Okay, sense of accomplishment. All right,
being engaged.
Say it again.
Being engaged.
Being engaged. Good, Angie, thanks. Okay, so write all these down. So you'll notice that fulfillment can mean different things to different people. So, Angie, you said being engaged. Somebody else said the sense of accomplishment. Okay, and so it can, what's fulfilling for you is going to be unique to you, but in general, fulfillment means that something's meaningful to you, that it makes you feel like you have a sense of purpose and you get a sense of reward out of it, like you're lit up and excited, okay? That's basically how I define fulfillment. So why is this important? Why is this even on the career model? Why is fulfillment important to your job?
Our ideal of what we're striving towards.
Good. It helps you define the ideal, right? What else? Why would you, let me rephrase it. Why would you all want to feel fulfilled at work?
It's a large portion of my day.
It's a large portion of your day. Good. Michael, were you going to say something else?
Same lines. It's a large portion of your life.
Okay, good. So if we're going to spend 8 hours, whatever it is, 8 hours plus at our jobs, we might as well feel rewarded and fulfilled by them, correct? And what I know is when you find something that is that fulfilling for you, it doesn't feel like work as much. There's good days and bad days, and there's stuff that you still don't want to deal with. There still is for me, okay? So it's not like it's all peaches and cream, but it's easier. You're going to be more excited about it. It feels less like work. And at the end of your life, you're going to be able to say, you know what? I had a job that I really loved, and I got a lot out of it, okay? So it's important for all of these reasons. And what I know, too, related to this money issue, is when you do something that you're passionate about and that's fulfilling for you, you are much more likely to make good money at it. Okay? There's work. You still have to work hard to make that money, et cetera, et cetera. But you're more likely to make more money because you're following your passion. Okay? So let me explain why. Well, let me ask you guys, why do you think fulfillment is the cornerstone here? Why is it in the middle of the model and so important to it, do you think?
It seems like it's kind of a common ground. You know, it might mean different things to different people, the money aspect, purpose, but that's sort of a common feeling or word that everybody can plug into.
Yeah, okay, good. Another reason that it's in the middle is, like I talked about, it relates to the money, okay, and that's another part that's important on the model. Another example is relating to your skills. So studies have shown that when you have a job that utilizes your natural talents and abilities, that job is going to be more fulfilling for you. And if you have a job that you're wasting your talent, you're not using your talents, that job is going to be very unfulfilling, okay? So it's related to skills and that one other piece of the model as well. So this is how this works, that fulfillment basically touches all aspects of the model, okay? So for me as an example, I'm naturally good at connecting with people, listening to them, empathizing with them, and encouraging them. And doing that on a regular basis as a coach is incredibly rewarding for me. That's my number one value, is connecting with people on a deeper level. Okay? So it's not only a skill, but it's also a reason why I'm so fulfilled. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
Okay, so this is why the fulfillment piece is so important and why we spend the most time in this group on fulfillment. Okay? All right, so values. Let's go to values. So step one in defining what's fulfilling to you is defining what your ideal values are first, and then saying from those ideal values, what are your career values, okay? So how would you all define values? What does that mean?
most important to you in life.
Good.
How you make decisions.
Ooh, even better. Sorry, I interrupted you. Was that Stacy?
Yeah.
So what's important to you in life and how you make decisions?
Well, I think this is to help you make decisions.
Yes. Perfect. Good. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? Okay, so Stacy, that's perfect. And what tends to happen to people, I'm glad you brought up the make decisions, because what tends to happen to people is our values operate subconsciously. And we just automatically make decisions based on our values without fully consciously realizing it. And what we're doing here today is bringing those to the forefront, out of your subconscious mind into the front, so that you can start to live your life according to your values, number one, and find a career that honors your values, number two. So values help you make decisions. You can consider them priorities, but they're bigger priorities than like paying your bills, okay? That's not necessarily fulfilling. It's just something you have to do. So values are not morals or ethics or strictly priorities. Values are things that help you decide how you're going to live your life, and more importantly, they are your guideposts to fulfillment. So, when you make choices in your life to honor your values, you will then be fulfilled. And when you identify a career path that honors your career values, that job will be fulfilling and rewarding for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Any questions so far? Okay. So what I'd like to do here is I want you guys to do an exercise in your head. I'm gonna do an exercise with one of you, whoever's willing to be the guinea pig here. And I want you all to do this with us. So ask yourself the same questions that I ask this person and go through this together, and then you're going to talk to your buddy about this exercise and what you saw. And then if you have more questions, I want you to reach out to me and let me know what you need help with. All right, so who's willing to volunteer? It's going to be quick and painless, I promise.
I'll
do it. Oh, you do it. Go ahead.
I heard a bunch of people. Okay, so Stacy, I heard you first, right?
Yeah, but you can do it. It's cool.
No.
I feel like I talk too much.
No, you don't. So let's do Stacy. Okay, so everybody get out a piece of paper for me and your pen. And I want you all, and Stacy, we're going to talk about you specifically, but I want everyone right now to think of a peak experience in your life, a time in your life when you felt fabulous. Things were running on all cylinders. It could be career. It could be personal. It doesn't matter. And it could be a moment in time, or it could be the course of weeks, months, days, whatever. But it was just a time that sticks out in your mind that was really great for you. So, Stacy, do you have one yet in your head?
Man, I really wish I hadn't volunteered. peak experience when I felt fabulous.
And don't make up that it has to be this big deal.
Oh, God.
And if you're struggling too much, we can choose somebody else.
I'm not having a real, nothing come to mind on the top of my head. So
okay.
Somebody else needs to jump in.
Okay. Who's got one?
I guess I'll jump in.
Great. So, Michael, here's what I want you to tell me about. I want you, and this goes for everybody too, so do this together. Go back in your mind to that time. Think about it for me for a moment right now. And I want you to remember how it felt to be there, okay? And, Michael, what I want you to tell me, and this is what I want everybody else to write down too, is I want you to tell me what was cool about it for me. So just tell me the time that, you know, quick detail about it, but focus more on why this was cool and why was it a big deal for you. Okay, go, Michael.
All right. I guess it's a period of time, but it was like my last year, pretty much my last year at the University of Georgia in Athens.
Okay.
I was very sociable. Me and my buddies and my group of friends, you know, had some good times and good parties where people would come and they still talk about them after the day. So it's mainly me just, you know, everybody, no matter where I went, I ran into someone that I knew through somebody else or, you know, someone knew me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that would be my peak time, which is sad to say.
Okay. No, there's no judgment, no gremlins about peak time. Gremlins don't belong here.
Gotcha.
So, Michael, anything else why was this so cool for you? Anything else that was really neat?
Well, because I guess I was free.
Great.
I was, you know, felt like I was on the top of the world.
Okay.
You know, to be honest, I felt that I was invisible.
Invincible?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That nothing bad at that point in time in my life had happened to me, and things of that nature. But I felt very self-confident about doing things.
Okay.
And things of that nature.
Okay, perfect. Got what I needed.
All right. I didn't know where you were going with that, but...
Okay, so I kind of want to throw this out to the group to see if you guys can pick anything out. Well, wait, you guys have been thinking about yourselves, so I don't want to sidetrack you, but does anybody have any ideas of what one of Michael's values might be?
Having a lot of close friends or being known.
Yep. Good. Who is that?
Kelly.
Good, Kelly. Okay.
I think this plays on to what Kelly's saying is being a part of a community.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Okay, so this is what I want you all to do for yourselves and with your buddy. So it helps to have an objective person kind of help you wade through this a little bit. So, Michael, what about these two that, just give me a second because I'm thinking here and looking at my list. There was something in this social and close relationships, people knowing you. It sounds like there's a value there. Is there?
Yeah.
What would you call it? Okay, so here's the deal, that we're identifying the values and we're naming them. So would you say that is the value close relationships? Is it being social or is it something else? Or both?
I would almost say both.
Okay. So
maybe recognition?
Okay.
It's not necessarily recognition. I would probably throw that one out before the other two. It's mainly based around being close.
Okay.
And having a good time where when no matter who's around you, they're also having a good time. So that social aspect of it. Recognition, I wouldn't recognize myself as the person who's, you know, making everyone have a good time, but as long as the social good time was happening.
Gotcha. Okay, good. And I can see where this recognition came from because you were talking about how people were talking about the parties well afterwards.
Yes.
And so there's something about, like, being social and helping create this social atmosphere.
Yes.
And maybe the recognition just kind of comes out of that naturally because you do a good job at it.
Yes.
Okay. So, Michael, two values for you to write down is close relationships and this being or creating social situations, however you want to word it. And then I'm going to tell you the other things that I heard, Michael, so these are the things for you to flush out and identify if these are values, okay?
All right.
I heard something about free or freedom. I heard the self-confidence, like you could do anything. And I also heard this sense of invincible, and I'm not sure if that was the same as the self-confidence or different, but it was almost like when you were talking about the invincible and being on the top of the world, it was almost like the world was your oyster.
Yes.
So there was some value in there, and maybe the value is called the world is your oyster. You get to call it whatever you want, okay? So this goes for everybody. Name your values, whatever you want to name them. Have fun with it. They're your unique values. So those were the ones that I heard, Michael, for you out of your peak experience. So this is what I want all of you guys to do for homework, okay? It's identify the peak experience. Write down, you know, what it was. It was the time when I graduated from high school. I had somebody say their peak experience was in high school, and I don't know anybody that really liked high school. It was really funny. I was so surprised. What it was, and specifically what was cool about this experience for you, the facts about it as well as the feelings during that time. And then look at your list and do this for each other with your buddy. Write these things down and ask yourself, what is the value here? What about this is important to you? Is it balance? Is it health? And then come up with a name for your values for each one. All right, so are you all clear on what you need to do? I'm glad that I asked you all to jump in a little bit because you were starting, you did a great job of starting to pick out what Michael's values were. Do you feel comfortable with this?
What if you don't, just Latoya, what if you don't come up with anything?
Well, I think that that's almost impossible. Are you
I'm
feeling like...
help you.
What?
It's to make your buddy help you.
Great. So, Latoya, do you mean, like, you're not coming up with a peak experience or you won't come up with any values?
I won't come up with a peak experience.
Ah, okay. Okay, so this is what else I was going to tell you guys. So, other ways to define your values are, wait, I have to look at my list because there's several of them. Okay, if you're having trouble coming up with a peak experience, like Stacy, you were kind of too, other ways to identify values are thinking about things that you can't do without. Like if love were not in the world or if beauty were not in the world, I would die. I can't do without X. So what are things that you can't do without? That's another way to identify possible values. Things that irritate you or piss you off about the world or other people, there are values in there. Like, it really bothers me when people don't exercise and they smoke and don't take care of their health. You probably have a value of health somewhere in there, okay? And a third way to identify values is that funny question. If you had to go to a desert island and you could only take a few things with you, what would you take? So say, like, the top five things that you could take with you. That can help you identify with what you really value and what's important. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. Stacey, how about you?
Well, it's funny because I thought I had come up with something until you said those things. And then I was like, because what I was thinking of were like achievement awards that I got, and those were things that made me feel fabulous. I need to bring my trophy to my island.
Yeah, okay, like, so don't, I love that. That's so, come on. It would be so cool and useful.
Have it have some food.
Yeah.
Not trophy.
So, okay, go beyond the necessities that you need to bring to the island. Like, assume that at the desert island, your basic Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those would be taken care of. So what other things would you want to bring with you?
I still don't want to bring my trophy. That just seems so weird.
Okay,
that was the moment where I felt fabulous.
I know. Well, so instead of that, think about the award that you got and what was so great. Why did you like getting that award? Was it recognition? Was it that you had a sense of accomplishment? Was it?
Yeah, it was more, accomplishment.
It was a sense of it. Okay, all right. And so that is something, so there's a value in there, and it's either a sense of accomplishment, like I always need to feel like I'm accomplishing something, or something else. So just mine around in that peak experience first and leave the desert island alone. Don't attach them together and collapse them. Do the peak experience and any other peak experiences. So see if you come up with any other ones because there could be several.
Yeah.
And then put it down, switch gears completely, and then think about the desert island. Like, is one of the things music? or is one of the, you know, something to do with acting. What is it about acting that you love so much? Because there are values in that, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So that's something that you can think about too, okay?
Okay.
All right. I was going to say something else, and I forgot what it was. It'll come if it's important. Okay, so your jobs for homework are to talk to your buddies about your ideal values and come up with a list of, let's say, at least 5 ideal values, okay? Let me just think here because we didn't get to everything I wanted to, and I think you can do this on your own, yes. So come up with your list of ideal values, and then with your buddy, identify which of those values need to be career values for you, meaning which of those need to be honored in a job, okay? And I'll give you a quick example because I know we're getting close to time. I have a value of health for myself and the environment. That does not mean I want to go be a yoga instructor, and it does not mean that I want to work in a recycling plant. I have no interest in that, and I have no skill in those areas. I am very happy to honor my value of health in my personal life by eating healthy, taking vitamins, and buying green cleaning products and recycling at my house. That is enough. My value of connecting with people, though, I want that to be a career value. And that is part of why coaching for me is so rewarding and fulfilling, because I do that every day. Do you see the distinction? You guys are probably writing, so you're not answering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the questions to ask yourself are, does this value need to be honored in a job, or is it okay for me to do this personally? And it is okay if all of your ideal values belong in your job. That's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you just need to be clear about what are personal versus career. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you come up with your ideal values, I want you to put them on your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator so you can see them every day so that you know what they are and have them memorized, okay? And if you have time and want to do it, so this is kind of extra homework if you choose, you can go ahead and put your career values on your must-have and like-to-have lists in order to say, you know what, this is a must, I have to have it, or, you know, this would be nice, but it's not an absolute must, okay? What we're going to talk about next time is your career values and what they mean in terms of your job, because it's all well and good if, say, if I say connecting with people is one of my career values, but you could do that in any job, just like we talked about before. It could apply to almost anything. So mine is specifically I want to connect with people on a very deep level and get to know them well and help them achieve their goals in their life. And even more specifically, it's help them define their ideal career, right? So you want to start to look at and be specific with what does this career value mean in terms of a job? Just like you were specific before. So that's an extra step if you have time to do it, but we'll talk more about it next time. All right, so let's hear from just a couple people, and then we'll be done. Biggest thing you're taking away from today, just blurt for me.
I actually have some feedback for Stacy, if I can do that. I work at a university, and someone in our office is an actor, and so her job is actually works well with going on I guess I can't remember what it's called, but
it's not interviews
called,
but yeah.
It's not interviews, but and I'm her manager, so I work with, you know, she comes to me for those things, and I think we've been able to balance her, you know, passion for that and her job. So that might be a place where you want to look for a part-time or full-time job.
University.
Is it in a university setting, or what exactly is it that she's doing?
It's in a university setting. It's in one of the humanities departments.
Yeah.
So it's already kind of a creative environment.
And universities tend to be more flexible. I worked at one, and that's part of why I chose it. They're usually better. This flex time. Good. Thank you, Angie. All right. So one more thing, and then I know we got to go. If anyone needs to leave, go ahead and sign off. But one other big learning or comment?
I guess Stacy has reminded me to remain realistic, because I think that you can have a passion for something, but if it doesn't pay the bills, it can become your worst enemy.
Yep.
So it's important to keep things in check and understand that money still is needed.
It's got to be part of the equation. That's why it's on the model, because it has to be considered. It's vitally important. And you don't want the money thing at the beginning to let it stand in the way of you brainstorming ideas. All right, thanks, everybody. Have a good couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.